You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Dave, how you doing?
Good, Greger. What's up, buddy? I think I had a, I think I had like a Grimace watch back in the day.
Yes.
There you go. Deal, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I knew there was some. Well, you'll see the picture if you haven't seen it on Twitter. We'll get your thoughts afterwards about Strutty's watch that he was wearing on the broadcast last night. But
I must say.
Yeah, yeah, his hair was looking, buddy, he had a lot of dippity-do in there last night. He was looking sharp,
Hey, that's good product.
Oh, it's greatest. Nothing moves when you got the dippity-do in. Dave, for the in the 1980s, road trips through Alberta were pretty brutal for opposing teams. Because if you didn't win on the scoreboard, you just got beat up, too, because both teams were pretty tough. Obviously, the latter's not going to really occur now, although the Flames are a pretty tough team. But you look at the Oilers and the Flames. Do you think they're both legit?
Well, I'll be honest. I had a lot higher hopes for the Edmonton Oilers this year than I did the Calgary Flames. I think Calgary, to me, might be my biggest surprise of the early going so far this season, just because, really, what we saw out of them last year was wildly uninspiring throughout most of the season. And the moves that they made in the off season, like, I get what they were trying to do, bringing in guys like Nikita Zadorov and Blake Coleman and, you know, Brad Richardson. These are all Daryl Sutter type guys. So it became pretty clear to me that if Calgary was going to win, they were doubling down on Daryl, which, quite frankly, makes sense. You bring him in as the head coach, you obviously buy into his philosophy. You better give him the pieces to try to implement it, and so they did. But I still had questions about whether or not they would be able to score enough, and so far the scoring has more than delivered, and wildly, even guys like Monahan and Gaudreau's got a number of assists, but I don't think he's only got two goals on the season. Monahan just had his first the other night. So it's been guys like Andre Mangiapane who stepped forward, and I think has really taken another step in his career and established himself as a legitimate top six player. And, you know, those types of guys, Elias Lindholm has been effective. Matthew Tkachuk has been relatively effective as well. So wait till Monahan and Gaudreau get going, because they should at some point. And if the scoring can hold up, suddenly I'll have to be honest, I've changed my mind a little bit about Calgary, because the defense has been there, which I expected it to be, and the goaltending with Jacob Markstrom has been more than good enough. So so far, so good. I'm willing to see a little bit more from Calgary before I summarily write them off the way that I did in the offseason.
You know, I'd love to bring up Andre Mangiapane, because we had a guest on from Calgary, and I asked if he could be a potential candidate to be a captain, and he was dismissed pretty quick. Now, I'm not close to the Flames. I don't know what's going on, but from a distance, to me, he looks like a heartbeat guy, you know, and so is it, yeah. You're from the distance too, you're not in Calgary. Would it be crazy if I said to you, Mangiapane could be the next captain of that team?
Well, no, I don't think it's crazy, and quite frankly, no, I'm not in Calgary, but I actually did sit down with Andre Mangiapane at the Players Media Tour back in September, just a week before camp opened up, and we had a good 20-minute conversation, and I kid you not, Strutty, it's funny you should bring it up as a captain potential. That was the feeling that I was left with, that I was struck with after our conversation came to an end. Just the way the guy talked, his approach to the game, you know, because I was talking to him about the fact that he did seem to take a bit of a step offensively last year, and I said, you know, are you looking to really add even more of that ability to your game and maybe elevate higher in the lineup and all of that? And he said, well, sure. But he said, don't for a second kid yourself into thinking that what got me to this point, which in other words is, you know, being a bit of a pain in the butt, shift disturber, as it were, kind of in like a Brad Marchand type of ilk, but maybe not quite as over the top as Brad gets at times. He said, don't think I'm going to leave that part of my game behind. And he hasn't. So that type of player, I've got a lot of room for. I can tell you Daryl Sutter would have a lot of room for a guy like that. And if he can start to chip in and even he's done more than chip in, but solidify himself as a guy with some skill too. This is a guy that I really think now that Mark Giordano has moved on, I'd want to keep this guy in the fold, and I'd elevate him to a captaincy type of status if they feel the time is right, because I don't think Johnny Gaudreau is that type of guy. It's no disrespect, but you know, his game is just go out there and dance. Don't worry about all the other stuff. But Mangiapane, I thought, really was able to deliver a clear, concise message on himself, on the way he wanted the Flames to play this season. And he's gone out there and he's owned it, and he's delivered it too in how he's played. So, yeah, I'm with you, Strutty. I really, really like how this guy's taken off, and I think he should be a face of this Calgary team moving forward for a lot of years.
Dave McCarthy from Sirius XM joins us. And, Dave, the Chicago Blackhawks pick up their first victory. Patrick Kane. I want to talk about Patrick Kane because I watched Patrick Kane last night. I got to thinking, I'm like, man, you know, I've watched a lot of Patrick Kane. I don't know if I've ever seen Patrick Kane get hit. Like, really hit.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is I look at two young – Zegras and Hughes are both out. They got hit. Now, Zegras is fine. But I just – it's a skill that maybe we don't – like, Patrick Kane, and Strutty maybe can attest to this, like – it's not the guys don't want to hit him. They literally can't hit. He doesn't put himself in a position to get hit very often. I remember, I think it was last year, Matt Barzal, someone was coming, he's got his stick right up in the guy's face. Guess what? He didn't get hit. Do you think it's a skill that more of the young guys have to learn, the skill guys, that they can't put themselves in a position? Like, you want to have longevity in the league as a smaller skill player, you got to learn not to get hit.
Oh, God, yeah. 100% it's a skill. And some guys just, quite frankly, do not have it. And it's why you seem to see some of these guys out consistently time and time again. And Jack Hughes needs to learn that skill. Like Taylor Hall, quite frankly, he's not necessarily the smallest guy. He's a bit of a bigger guy. Not huge by any stretch, but not like a pint-sized guy like a Patty Kane is or Jack Hughes. But he needed to learn that skill earlier on.
I think we lost Dave.
Yeah, like, I'll jump in like there, that. Griggs. I think I love the way you're talking about it, because what it is that you have to be able to be close to the muck but not get your feet dirty, if that makes sense. Like, you know, I think when he's at his best, I think Johnny Gaudreau does a really good job of that. Patrick Kane's another guy who does it. Like, you're there, but you're not in there, because they can't out-muscle. Like, you think of the game last night, Johnny Gaudreau's not out-muscling Larson or Oleksiak or Soucy, right? But he's got to still be close enough to strike. So instead of being locked up in a two titans of industry battling, you're just away, and then you pop in when that puck comes there. And that's what makes Kane so dangerous. So for a guy like Hughes or some of those smaller players, it's not impossible, but you just have to be, you have to have a different approach than maybe a guy like Fogel. Like Fogel, he just goes where he wants. Same with Jesse Puljujärvi. But what Puljujärvi can't do is something that Johnny Gaudreau can do, is how quick he darts in and out of the game, or Kane in your example.
Yeah, so I think it's an underappreciated skill of Patrick Kane. Dependability is one of the huge best abilities you can have. And quickly, Dave, I want to get your thoughts on a few teams around the league, good and bad. You have the Pittsburgh Penguins got off to a great start, and now maybe come down to earth, late in this year. The Montreal Canadiens are maybe worse than, and a lot of people didn't pick them to win, but maybe worse than that. And then on the other side, Buffalo. Do you believe that Buffalo could even finish maybe as like a middle of the road team? Not even a playoff team, or do you think they will crash and burn at some point?
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for Buffalo right now, the same way I have for Calgary, like we talked about earlier in the chat. You just look at that roster, and, you know, honestly, Strutty, I think you're an injury or two away from being asked to play. So, at this point, October is a different month, and then once you get toward American Thanksgiving, like the level, the intensity, it all raises up a little bit, and that's where some teams start to separate themselves. Remember, Buffalo, I think it was 3 years ago in 2018, had a tremendous October and November. And I remember there was a big game that year, I think it was December 3rd or 4th, against Toronto in Buffalo. And Toronto was off to a good start. It was sort of like the battle for first place. And after that, I don't know if Buffalo ever won another game. They did, but like not many the rest of the year. So they faded like a rock thrown off a cliff at the beginning of December that year. And I thought their team then was better than it is now on paper. So, look, give them credit. It's nice that they haven't got themselves caved in through the month of October, so at least they can show up in November and still feel like there's a point of coming to the rink and you can at least try to develop some of your younger guys. But I don't see how in that Atlantic Division, when you got to contend with the likes of Tampa and Boston and Florida, I think Toronto's going to start to roll a little bit here. You know, I just don't see how they have a path in that Atlantic Division with that roster.
I want to talk to you about that division. I'm glad you brought it up. The Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, coming off two Stanley Cups, had to trade away their some core pieces to get cap compliant. Has got another injury to Kucherov here. You know, if you're the manager of that team, how are you evaluating where your team's at? Is it just important to make the playoffs, like, or does it matter where you seed? Like, what is your, because you know, 2 years of playoff runs, I know they've been really screwed up years, McCarthy. But you know, do you treat that team the same as maybe the manager of the Florida Panthers may?
No, I treat it very differently if I'm Julian Breezeball right now, because, look, Nikita Kucherov is out yet again, and that does not help. And the problem this year is that they don't have nearly the depth that they did on that roster a year ago, with a line like Pullman, Gaudreau, and Yanni Gourde, who were really a tremendous line for them throughout the regular season and obviously into the playoffs. And they don't have that this year. So they're relying on guys like Barrett Boulet and Matthew Joseph for some elevated minutes. And, you know, Boris Kachuk has gotten some minutes. So these are guys that are trying to establish their NHL careers, where the trio that I just mentioned, they were established NHL players a year ago, and they could take on some heavier minutes. So, you know, now maybe you don't feel comfortable giving some of those younger guys some heavier minutes. So what happens? And you need to turn to guys like Stamkos and Killorn and Point to take on some heavier minutes. Well, okay, then maybe they're not scoring as much. Maybe now you're not getting as much from down the lineup because those guys are just not at that position to be able to contribute offensively. So suddenly your lineup looks a lot thinner. But I still think they've got the horses where if they get it together, and I think that they will, their defense is too strong. I think they still got their best netminder in the game in Andrei Vasilevskiy. And you're going to get Kucherov back at some point. Just sort of tread water, keep yourself in the mix, find a way to make your way into the playoffs, and then sort of see where you are come the end of February, early March for trade deadline. Maybe then you can add a piece or two to add a little bit more of that depth that they can fit it in that I think they might need. But at this point, I'm not looking at this team like it's panic time. I think there's a lot of legitimate reasons, some of which that I just outlined, that explain why they are where they are right now, but also reasons why they should be able to get it together and be a contender yet again come playoff time.
Davey, always good to catch up with you, my man. We will talk to you next week.
Sounds great. I will look forward to it.
Yeah, good. Go look up Stretti's Casio, and then we'll get your analysis on that next week as well.
Okay.
So that's Dave McCarthy.